Good morning, everybody. Let us pray. Father God, we worship and adore you. Thank you for the joy of knowing Jesus in our lives and for all that he means to us. Turn our hearts to you, that by seeking your kingdom and loving one another, we may become people who worship you in spirit and in truth. Let our lives become a song of praise to you in all that we say and all that we do, and may our song of praise touch the lives of all of those that we meet. Father, we ask all these things in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. If you didn't get it from the songs that we've heard and sung already, we have a kind of home and away, or away and home theme going on this morning. Our call to worship, it's got two parts. Cold, dark nights, warm, bright lights. Christmas is the hardest and the kindest time. Memories and expectations, confrontations, salutations. Who is without? Who is within? A question still at Bethlehem's Inn. What awaits the Christ child now is our power to decide as the world attends another Christmas tide. And some words by James Colliani. The Christmas story reminds us once again, it was not man's idea that the Son of God should be born in a stable. And so the first thing we learn from Jesus' birth is that the Lord will not always be found where we expect to find him. We tend to look for him in the nice, the clean and the warm. We expect him to be in churches and in the Bible and in hymns of praise and in Christmas cards which have scripture verses on them. But if these are the only places that we search for the Lord, then we're not really looking in the stable. And our first song reminds us what the Christmas story was the beginning of. And it reminds us of the state of that stable. And we're going to sing Stuart Townsend's From the Squalor of a Borrowed Stable.
Thank you. Good morning, all. The first reading is from Matthew 2, verses 13 to 15, the message away. After the scholars were gone, God's angel showed up again in Joseph's dream and commanded, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Stay until further noticed. Herod is on the hunt for this child and wants to kill him." Joseph obeyed. He got up, took the child and his mother under the cover of darkness. They were out of town and well on their way by daylight. They lived in Egypt until Herod's death. This Egyptian exile fulfilled what Hosea had preached, "I called my son out of Egypt." Thanks be to God.
Hungry and homeless. The time had come when we must flee on a journey which would set us free. We had no time to pick or choose. There was no time, no time to lose. Hungry and homeless, travelling light, weary people taking flight. Harsh the journey, long and slow. Where it would end, we could not know. But the time had come when we must flee on a journey we knew would set us free. The time had come when we must flee on a journey which would set us free. We had no time to pick or choose. There was no time, no time to lose. Hungry and homeless, travelling light, weary people taking flight. Harsh the journey, long and slow. Where it would end, we could not know. But the time had come when we must flee on a journey we knew would set us free. The time had come when we must flee on a journey which would set us free. We had no time to pick or choose. There was no time, no time to lose. Hungry and homeless, travelling light, weary people taking flight. Harsh the journey, long and slow. Where it would end, we could not know. But the time had come when we must flee on a journey we knew would set us free.
The Innocents. What do we do with the babe in the cradle? The babe in the cradle, the hope of the world. House it in a shanty town, hovel and stable, a refugee camp for the hope of the world. How do we care for the infant so helpless? The infant so helpless, the young one so frail. Give it no doctors, no fit sanitation, and raise it in squalor, the young one so frail. How do we nourish the seed of the future, the seed of the future, the heir of mankind? Feed it with charity soya bean mixture, a cupful of rice for the heir of mankind. How do we nurture the child full of promise, the child full of promise, the light of the world? School it in prejudice, half-trusts and falsehood, and quench with dark hatred the light of the world. Where are the wise men with gifts for a baby, with gifts for a baby but fit for a king? Bring him the best of the world's wealth, and maybe our great expectations will blossom in him. Treat him with reverence, the tender young sapling, then great expectations will blossom in him.
We're going to sing again some new words, but to a familiar tune. It's called "Earth Gave Him No Welcome." And as you sing it, perhaps you'll think, oh, the first word is a little, first verse is a bit Christmassy. It's going back over things that we know and we did a few weeks ago. But you need to bear in mind the words of the first verse. And when you sing the word him, for earth gave him no welcome. By all means, think about Jesus at his first coming on earth, but also think who else who the word him might apply to. And as you get through the song, three verses through the song, yes, it's still talking about Jesus, but think who Jesus is identifying with when he was here. Read you a few statistics about the UK's teenage runaways. Each year, more than 100,000 children run away from home or care in the UK. In Britain, there is still an ever-growing tide of children who run away, and at a ruthlessly efficient group of predators are willing to prey on them. An astonishing 66% of parents or carers do not report missing children to the police, leaving the most vulnerable at their most unprotected. Runaway children go to the very heart of how society deals with its most vulnerable and troubled teenagers. Some are running away from problems, while others are running headlong towards them. When they're on the run, they are more exposed than ever to drugs, organised crime, sexual exploitation, and trafficking networks. A recent report by the Children's Society states that 1 in 6 runaways were forced to sleep rough or in the company of strangers. Adult refugees turn away anyone under the age of 18, and there are only 10 refuge beds in the entire country for children who are on the street. Yeah, 10. We're going to change our focus slightly, and we're going to think about people who are running away, who are homeless, who are difficult. This is a poem written by someone called Simon Armitage, and it's called Give. Of all the public places, dear, to make a scene, I've chosen here. Of all the doorways in the world, the two to choose to sleep, I've chosen yours. I'm on the street, under the stars. For coppers, I can dance or sing. For silver, swallow swords, eat fire. For gold, escape from locks and chains. It's not as if I'm holding out for frankincense or myrrh, just change. You give me tea. That's big of you. I'm on my knees. I beg of you.
The first thing they ask you is, where do you live? Gyro, job application, bank account. You need an address. No fixed abode conjures up a shifty kind of person, likely to move on, but with nowhere to go. Neither creditworthy nor credible.
The last thing I'd want is for bricks and mortar to come between me and what God might be calling me to do. But I have a mortgage. That makes me a solid citizen, creditworthy, credible, a good neighbour. Behind my own front door, most likely to stay put. In fact, I'd find it hard to move.
The last thing I think of when you say home is comforts. They come later. First, it has to become more than a memory or a fantasy. It has to become something real and present. Home being where the heart is rings hollow.
The first thing I think of when you say home is insurance, and then I remember that failure to keep up mortgage repayments could result in the repossession of my home. My commitments lay a dead hand on my heart.
God, whose home is the whole world, and who became homeless for our sake,
Creator of the universe, who puts us on earth as housekeepers, whose care is for all that is made, embraces ecosystems and economies.
We came to share our lives, born on a traveller's sight, becoming a refugee,
growing up in a nuclear family, learning a trade,
leaving home and encouraging solid citizens to drop out, wandering from place to place, always having time for folk on the margins,
disappointing your family but enjoying the welcome of ordinary homes and shared meals,
having nowhere to lay your head,
welcomed into the city,
disrupting the house of God,
gathering your friends in a strange room,
arrested as an anti-social element,
put to death on the town dump,
buried in a borrowed grave. We rejoice that you rose again, overcoming the death that we all fear.
Death of the spirit as well as the body.
We give thanks that you remind us
that all people matter and that new life is possible.
We need your help to rise beyond our own insecurity
and too great security.
We believe that in you is our real and eternal home.
For you are Alpha and Omega,
the first and last. Amen.
A reflection. I never knew his name, but each day I walked past on my way from work. He was there, in the doorway, huddled with his old dog. Sometimes I gave him my apple left over from lunch, and felt good because I'd given up a tiny morsel of a meal which I'd had when I'd had so much. And if I did, he smiled up at me through the scruffy growth of his beard, and the dog tried to wag his tired tail as it chewed on the scraps thrown out by benevolent butchers. One day he wasn't there, and I heard he'd been found dead that morning after a particularly cold night. The dog was taken into a shelter. On a string round its neck, he'd hung its name, Fido, Faithful. And his name? From a paper in his pocket, it seemed that his name was Josh, short for Joshua, another name for Jesus.
Okay, it's the last time you're going to see these. Some of you will be glad of that. But about 150-ish days ago, the 11th of August, I think it was, which seems like a lifetime ago, we had a service for Action for Children. And to honour their 150 years of existence, you were invited to keep your little box, if you took it away at the end of the service, for 150 days to collect money for Action for Children. Well, I'm astonished that everybody in my house not only managed to keep their box, but put something in it, and apart from Jonathan, who was at work at 1 o'clock this morning, managed to give me the box back, which is fantastic. So, if you have got your box, I can see several people have, we'll collect them up in just a minute. If you have forgotten your box, bring it next week, because I'm sure Linda will be kind enough to keep counting for us. If you have forgotten your box completely but might not be here another week, there is one empty box here. Nobody will mind if you come and secretly put something in it, so I'll leave this one on the side. Let us pray. You came as a baby, Lord, as a little helpless child who relied on a human family to care for him. You cried because you were hungry, because you were homeless, because you were a stranger far away from home. You still cry with hunger, Lord, in the voices of the many starving. Your tears still flow for the homeless, the lonely, and the forgotten. You still rely on human families to care for you. And so we, the church family in this place, bring before you these offerings of money for the work of Action for Children. Before you, we give thanks for these gifts and the givers. Receive these as our Christmas present, for we know that whatever we do for the least of your children, we do for you. And this year, Lord, we pray, help us to be the kind of people who look for you in the world and joyfully to discover you as we care for one another. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand, if you can, and we're going to say as our declaration, our commitment to not forget what we've done and not forget what we're thinking about. And we're going to use the words from, it's actually from Singing the Faith number 702 that were printed on the ends of your boxes. So hopefully the words will be on the screen. Would you like to stand? And we're just going to make a declaration for what we've done.
I will speak out for those who have no voices. I will stand up for the rights of all the oppressed. I will seek truth and justice. I will defend the poor and the needy. I will lift up the weak in Jesus' name. I will speak out for those who have no choices. I will cry out for those who live without help. I will show God's compassion to the crushed and broken in spirit. I will lift up the weak in Jesus' name. Amen.
This poem is by Lucy Berry and it's called The Mug's Song. One morning early, I was off to work. I stopped to give a homeless kid some money. A man just passing paused and spoke to me. Don't give your hard-earned dosh to people who don't wash. They need to know that nothing comes for free. But I thought, well, I'd rather be a mug than be a cynic. I'd rather be a fool than be a heel. I'd rather be the one who ends up being done than to be the callous git who won't feel. And anyway, come to think of it, I didn't buy a word of all that cobbler's. The kid was worn and tired and sick, all right, and no one wants to eat or kip out on the street if they've got a place to go for the night. But even if that weren't the case, I'd rather be a mug than be a cynic. I'd rather be a fool than be a heel. I'd rather be the one who ends up being done than to be the callous kit who won't feel. And he was still ranting on and on. They're living on the street because they want to. They're sponging off the likes of you and me. They're sitting on a stash of benefit fraud cash. They're using you, you sucker. Can't you see? And so finally, I had to say to him, I'd rather be a mug than be a cynic. I'd rather be a fool than be a heel. I'd rather be the one who ends up being done than be the callous git who won't feel. 'Cause you know why? Jesus was a mug and not a cynic. Jesus was a fool and not a heel. And Jesus is the one who ends up being done by every callous git who just won't feel. Helen is going to come and lead our prayers of intercession.
These are our prayers of intercession. When I say the words, God in your mercy, can you please respond, hear our prayer. God, Saviour of the world, who was born as a human child in Bethlehem, there is no room for you at the inn. We pray for all who are rejected, all for whom there is no home, no welcome. We pray for those who are outcast in today's world, through poverty, hunger, and oppression. We especially think of the homeless in this country and the charities and organisations that can give them shelter and a place to be warm and fed. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, Lord of the world, who fled to Egypt as a refugee, we pray for all refugees, all who are fleeing their homeland in fear, who have left behind people they love and everything that is familiar to them. Help us to do our part in welcoming and supporting them. We think of our Syrian friends who have been given the chance of a new life in this area, and let us help them to adapt to their new surroundings. Our thoughts are with the Rohingya people who have been forced to flee their homes in Myanmar. We pray for anyone risking their lives by paying traffickers to travel on boats and dinghies to find a safe haven away from the violence in their own countries. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, Son of God, who was entrusted into the hands of human parents to care for and keep safe, we pray for all children who are in danger, those who are unloved or neglected, those who are abused or tortured, those who are desperate and who run away from home in fear. Help agencies like Action for Children to find them, to cherish them and to love them, and stir us to actively support all work which enables mending, restoration and opportunities for new life, that all your children may be brought home safely. Lord, our thoughts are for any teenagers who are caught up with drug dealing and the gang culture, resulting in stabbings of other teenagers, and for the prison service having to cope in young offenders' centres and training, trying to keep everyone safe and teaching the young people to have a better life when they finish their sentences and are released into our society. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, Prince of Peace, we pray for peace in our world. We pray especially at this time for the situation in Iraq and Iran, and for the political leaders to find a peaceful way of negotiating so there are no further hostilities. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for the leaders of the nations, for those who are faced with the huge problem of bringing an end to violence and warfare. We think of Donald Trump and Boris Johnson and other European leaders. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, Father of us all, we pray for this church and the neighbourhood. Help us to remember that we are all members of our family. Help us to welcome all who come among us, knowing that in showing love and respect to any member of your family, we are showing it to you. We pray for any members of our church family who are caring for a family member who is ill and may be awaiting hospital treatment. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for people who are sick in body or in mind, and especially those known to us personally. In their need, may they know your healing touch. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of salvation, peace and justice, you come to us now as you have come to your people in every age. We thank you all who have reflected the life of Christ. Help us to follow their example and bring us with them to eternal life. Amen.
The last reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 to 23, the message, Home. Later, when Herod died, God's angel appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Up, take the child and his mother and return to Israel. All those out to murder the child are dead. Joseph obeyed. He got up, took the child and his mother, and re-entered Israel. When he heard, though, that Archelaus had succeeded his father Herod as king of Judea, he was afraid to go there. But then Joseph was directed in a dream to go to the hills of Galilee. On arrival, he settled in the village of Nazareth. This move was the fulfillment of the prophetic word, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Thanks be to God.
So we leave the Holy Family for the moment, setting up their home in Nazareth. And it seems the wrong way round, but I'm now going to tell you a story about a small family trying to find the right home. The Three Little Wolves and a Big Bad Pig. Once upon a time, there were three cuddly little wolves with soft fur and fluffy tails who lived with their mother. The first was black, the second was grey, the third was white. One day the mother called the three little wolves around her and said, "My children, it is time for you to go out into the world. Go and build a house for yourselves. But beware of the big bad pig." "Don't worry, Mother, we will watch out for him," said the three little wolves, and they set off. Soon they met a kangaroo who was pushing a wheelbarrow full of red and yellow bricks. "Please, will you give us some of your bricks?" asked the three little wolves. "Certainly," said the kangaroo, and she gave them lots of red and yellow bricks. So the three little wolves built themselves a house of bricks. The very next day, the big bad pig came prowling down the road and saw the house of bricks that the little wolves had built. The three little wolves were playing croquet in the garden. When they saw the big bad pig coming, they ran inside the house and locked the door. The pig knocked on the door and grunted, little wolves, let me come in. No, 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 said the three little wolves. By the hair on our chinny chin chins, we will not let you in, not for all the tea leaves in our china teapot. Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down, said the pig. So he huffed and he puffed and he puffed and he huffed, but the house didn't fall down. But the pig wasn't called big and bad for nothing. He went and fetched his sledgehammer and he knocked the house down. The three little wolves only just managed to escape before the bricks crumbled, and they were very frightened indeed. We shall have to build a stronger house, they said. Just then they saw a beaver who was mixing concrete in a concrete mixer. Please, will you give us some of your concrete? Asked the three little wolves. Certainly, said the beaver, and he gave them buckets and buckets full of messy, slurry concrete. So, the three little wolves built themselves a house of concrete. No sooner had they finished than the big bad pig came prowling down the road and saw that house of concrete that the little wolves had built. They were playing battledore and shuttlecock in the garden, and when they saw the big bad pig coming, they ran inside their house and shut the door. The pig rang the bell and said, little frightened wolves, let me come in. No, 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 said the three little wolves, not by the hair on our chinny chin chins, we will not let you in, not for all the tea leaves in our china teapot. Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down, said the pig. So he huffed and he puffed and he puffed and he huffed, but the house didn't fall down. But as you may remember, the pig was not called big and bad for nothing. He went and fetched his pneumatic drill and he smashed the house down. The three little wolves managed to escape, but their chinny chin chins were trembling and trembling and trembling. We shall build an even stronger house, they said, because they were very determined little wolves. And just then they saw a lorry coming along the road carrying barbed wire, iron bars, armour plates and heavy metal padlocks. Please, will you give us some of your barbed wire, a few iron plates and iron bars and some heavy metal padlocks? They said to the rhinoceros who was driving the lorry. Sure, said the rhinoceros, and he gave them plenty of barbed wire and iron bars and armour plates and heavy metal padlocks. He also gave them some plexiglass and reinforced steel chains, because he was a generous and kind-hearted rhinoceros. So the three little wolves built themselves an extremely strong house. It was the strongest, securest house one could possibly imagine. They felt very relaxed and absolutely safe. The next day, the big bad pig came prowling along the road as usual. The little wolves were playing hopscotch in the garden, and when they saw the big bad pig coming, they ran inside their house, bolted the door, and locked all the 67 padlocks. The pig pressed the video entrance phone and said, frightened little wolves with trembling chins, let me come in. No, 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 said the little wolves. By the hair on our chinny chin chins, we will not let you in, not for all the tea leaves in our china teapot. Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down, said the pig. So he huffed and he puffed and he puffed and he huffed, but the house did not fall down. But the pig was not called big and bad for nothing. He bought some dynamite, laid it against the house, lit the fuse, and blew the house up. The little wolves only just managed to escape with their fluffy tails scorched. "Something must be wrong with our building materials," they said. "We have to try something different." "But what?" At that moment, they saw a flamingo bird coming along, pushing a wheelbarrow full of flowers. "Please, will you give us some flowers?" asked the little wolves. "With pleasure," said the flamingo bird, and gave them lots of flowers. So the three little wolves built themselves a house of flowers. One wall was of marigold, one of daffodils, one of pink roses, and one of cherry blossom. The ceiling was made of sunflowers, and the floor was a carpet of daisies. They had water lilies in the bathtub and buttercups in the fridge. It was a rather fragile house, and it swayed in the wind. But it was very beautiful. The next day, the big bag pig came crawling down the road and saw the house of flowers that the little wolves had built. He rang the bluebell and said, "Frightened wolves with trembling chins and scorched tails, let me come in." "No, no, no," said the three little wolves. "By the hair on our chinny chin chins, we will not let you in, not for all the tea leaves in our china teapot." "Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down," said the pig. But as he took a deep breath, ready to huff and puff, he smelled the soft scent of the flowers. It was fantastic. And because the scent took his breath away, the pig took another breath and another. And instead of huffing and puffing, he began to sniff. He sniffed deeper and deeper until he was quite filled with the fragrant scent. His heart became tender, and he realized how horrible he'd been in the past. In other words, he became a big, good pig. He started to sing and dance the tarantella. At first, the three little wolves were a bit worried, thinking that it might be a trick. But then they realized the pig had truly changed. So they came running out of the house. They introduced themselves and started playing games with him. First, they played pig pog, and then piggy in the middle. And when they were all tired, they invited him into the house. They offered him china tea and strawberries and wolfberries. And they asked him to stay with them as long as he wanted. The pig accepted, and they all lived happily together ever after. You might wonder why that story is at the end and not the beginning. I will try and explain. In our Bible reading from Matthew, the Holy Family leave their homeland. Why? Because of King Herod. Because somebody else has such negative feelings towards them. Herod is scared. The wise men have told him this is a new king. Herod is frightened he might lose his position. Herod threatens all kinds of nasty things, some of which he carries out. But because of how his heart is hardened, the Holy Family are told by the angel to leave. They are runaways. They are refugees in Egypt. On the video we saw from the Action for Children, the young people are homeless because of somebody else's negativity towards them. Some of them are abused. Some of them are hurt. Some of them just can't stand to be in that place anymore because they are frightened. They are afraid for their lives. So they too become runaways. Slightly different for the three little wolves. The three little wolves are not running away. Their mother sends them out into the world with good advice and sensible reminders. And they are trying to build a house for themselves. But it never works, does it? They build it and they think, great, we've got our house of bricks, and it gets destroyed. They build the house of concrete, and that gets destroyed. And then they build their secure fortress, and that gets blown up. That's the away part. What about the home part? Well, the Holy Family, as Sue just read to us, they eventually get called by the angel to go back to their homeland. They have to start again. They have to go up to Nazareth, and they've been away for probably about 2 years. So they have to go and make a home in Nazareth. They're frightened to go back to where the king has been, where Herod's ancestors have been in the past, and where his descendants are now. So they don't quite go back to Bethlehem and Jerusalem, but they go back to Nazareth, their ancestral home. And they have to start again building a home, building a house. Action for Children and the gifts that you've collected and that we've dedicated today will do exactly that. They will find those who are lost, who are scared, who are running away, and they will find a way to bring them home and get them to a safe house that they can call a home. And what about the three little wolves? Well, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and imagine that we are the three little wolves. Imagine that story as KMC. The problem the wolves had was that they built their successive houses more and more defensively. Every time they built, they made it stronger, more rigid, more keep everything, including the big bad wolf, out. And that is not really the way that God builds. In the songs that were playing before you came in, we heard several by Lou Fellingham, and we didn't hear this one, but this is a line from one of her songs. It says, "Our confidence is not our ability, nor in the earthly strengths that we hold, but in his grace he takes the fragile things to show the greatness of his love." Now, the house that was staying standing at the end was a house made of flowers. And it was described as fragile. And I love the way it said it moved in the wind. We sing that song, don't we, around Pentecost time about moving in the Spirit's flow. And I imagine that's the house of flowers moving as the Spirit dictates. If we are building a house, what sort of house are we building here? Not the bricks and the mortar and the concrete, but the house of us, the people. Are we building defensively? And as the world seems more and more nasty, and there are quite a lot of big bad pigs in various guises out there, are we building like that? Or are we taking a leap of faith and building with flowers? Flowers that have a power that we could not imagine, and that would attract even the nasty elements, and do something deeper and greater through God's love than we could ever do defensively. It's risky. You think how easily the pig destroyed the other houses. He could have easily destroyed the house of flowers. It moved in the wind, so it was wobbly. It was a huge risk to take. But there was something about the fragrance of that house that the pig breathed in and took into himself that changed all of him and changed his attitude and got to the point where the wolves could welcome even the big good pig in. Another one of the songs we heard this morning was by Graham Kendrick, and he also wrote this song, and I'm just going to finish with his words for you to think about. May the fragrance of Jesus fill this place. May the fragrance of Jesus fill this church, rising from the sacrifice of lives laid down in adoration. Think how we are going to build this year at KMC. And will what we do be so full of the fragrance of Jesus that even big bad pigs can become big good pigs? Amen. We're going to end by singing, "Let us build a house where love can dwell." And I'm going to invite people to take up the offering for KMC's work slowly while we're singing this, because the words we're singing and the donations we're giving and the effort we're prepared to put in with the words kind of spell out what sort of house we want to build here. So let's stand to sing.
Thank you.
Lord, we give you these gifts. We give you them alongside all the other things we have given you today in terms of money and attention and worship and dedication. We pray that you will take all that we give you and use it to your glory. Amen.
Amen.
And a blessing. These are words from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. We are no longer alone. God is with us. We are no longer homeless. A bit of the eternal home itself has moved into us. Therefore, we can rejoice deeply within our hearts. And a reminder. It isn't far to Bethlehem's town. It's anywhere that Christ comes down and feels in people's smiling face. A loving and abiding place. The road to Bethlehem runs right through the homes of folk like me and you. And a commission as we go. Now that the song of the angels is stilled, now that the star in the sky is gone, now that the wise men are back at home, now that the shepherds are back with their flocks, now the real work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to home the refugee, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. So let's go with God and do just that. Amen.